Hey friends, it's Margaret and David on the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. Both of us coming to you from Colorado. I happen to be up in the mountains, and Margaret happens to be in her home in Boulder. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Yes, we're coming to you both from the Rocky Mountains today, both of
Oh my
us.
God, I'm just so loving my time up in the mountains, and Margaret was just in Europe, so she had a great break. So you haven't heard from us in a while because we've been, just been enjoying life, but here we are,
Here we are.
and we were before we got on the podcast, we're having a conversation, kind of a play on a line from a Tom Cruise movie, A Few Good Men, but instead of saying, you can't handle the truth, we were talking about how some people can't handle the love.
They can't handle the love. Yeah. So that was we started with a title today for our podcast, and then we'll fill in from the title.
We'll fill in. But one of the things that, Margaret and I have been on a spiritual path, both of us, for many, many years. I can certainly say for me, maybe 25 years now, and doing the inner work, or as we like to say in our leadership training, the being work of a leader.
And learning how to stay, right? To stay with what is or what is out here.
One of the things I've been doing, I was mentioning to Margaret, I've been listening to some books and some lectures by very interesting guys. I think he's now deceased. His name is David Hawkins. He wrote a very popular book, which I recommend to the audience, called Power Versus Force. He was a medical doctor, so he was an MD, PhD, and what we might call in the realms of consciousness, which is what he talks about. He had a satori, or a sudden bolt of enlightenment, and he talks a lot about his experience, and because he's a scientist, has developed these sort of like a quantitative scale of consciousness, of which love registers very, very high on his scale. So that's what I'm going to talk about,
It is, but
like what.
I'm gonna translate for those who are just like tuning in from their cars or drinking coffee and go, what is he
What?
talking
Don't tune out. Don't
about?
tune out. Don't tune
Don't leave,
out.
don't leave. I think what we're talking about is it's boy, how do I sound? It's like what's in your field, what's in your space, and if you are feeling, shame or irritation, or if you're arguing with somebody and you're so holding on to being right, like now you're at the low end of the scale, right? And there are other things that we can do. This is the spiritual journey to get ourselves just we're moving towards peace and joy and, well, enlightenment. But before enlightenment, there's peace and joy, which I think many of us would love to spend more time in. So that's kind of maybe the People magazine version of what David just said.
No, I totally do. Look, we talk on the podcast quite frequently about the emotional field. We could say levels of consciousness. We could say what Margaret, I like what you said, Margaret, like these are energy levels and some of the emotions. So we're human beings. We have emotions, feelings. And anybody who pauses to, this is some of the work we do with clients as coaches, is just to have folks pause and notice what their energy level or their atmosphere or their feelings are, and put some kind of a label onto it, like Margaret was saying, like resentment. Well, how does that registers usually at a pretty low energy level? Like,
It's funny because it feels high energy, right? It
it
feels
does.
like there's a lot of stir and agitation inside of you, but your relationship to the rest of the world is pretty low,
Yeah,
right? Your
exactly.
capacity to connect is really low. Like, I wonder if there's like actually a correlation. Like, the more the more your inner energy field is going crazy in chaos, the less you are having a high register on
Right.
what is outside of you.
I like what you're saying because, a lot of it, I talk here on the podcast and in my writing a lot about the Buddhist tradition, which so does David Hawkins. But these emotions that register at a low level, let's just say, are afflictive emotions in that tradition. So like you actually are being afflicted or you're afflicting yourself, others, as Margaret and I talked about, like when you start on this journey and you start to choose higher level emotions and responses to the world, like we train people in our positive intelligence program how to make those choices and go from this sort of like negative, afflictive type of emotion to a higher level, like more positive, like love, compassion, courage. We actually train people that when you start doing that, life becomes much more joyful. It's been that's been my experience of it.
We got started on this topic because I was reminiscing about staying in the area. I was there for the wedding of a college friend, and which of course means I was around other college friends, and I was remembering just sort of a just reminiscing about one of my early loves in college and how I really had trouble. I realized later. Receiving, this was somebody who really wanted to love me, and I had a lot of choices before I met my husband and my now ex-husband. But yeah, I just couldn't receive that love. And and there's that I bring this up because this is a little bit of the so what, like why are we even talking about this? Because when we are at those low levels, people. The universe can make offerings to us of choices, of paths, of love, of connection, and we can't receive them. Like if we're so busy being irritated or feeling shame about something else that's happened, like we have no openness. We have zero capacity to receive the higher level things that are out there waiting for us.
Couldn't handle the love, Margaret. At least at that stage you were at, you just couldn't handle it.
I just couldn't handle the love. No, I
Yeah.
couldn't handle it. And I really only understood that later.
Yeah, me too. I think and the audience knows I had a failed marriage, and I think my ex-wife at that time was also in a place where she couldn't receive the love that I was offering. And I got pulled in. I didn't have the skills that I have now to stay, and so her reactiveness triggered my reactiveness, and boy, it was just a negative spiral or a the metaphor I was, he just got on that merry-go-round and just kept going round and round until she decided to step off, which I thought was a blessing. And at the time, I couldn't see the blessing, but in hindsight now, I can see that there was a blessing there because, I just didn't have the skill to deal with the situation,
When I think back to my situation and what you're talking about, the metaphor, I like the merry-go-round, but the metaphor that I think of is for anybody who's ever spent time in the desert and everything's so arid and it's so dry. And then the rain comes and it can't even be absorbed into the soil, right? It just runs off and it floods and it goes into the arroyos. And it's like we are that dried soil. We are so parched and we can't even absorb the water that comes to us. Water being love in this metaphor, us being the soil.
Well, I love that. So what do you think, Margaret, has opened, literally opened up the pores in the desert of your heart?
Yeah. What opened that up for me?
What, oh, what, yeah, because, it's the parchedness doesn't allow the water in, but now,
Yeah, I think.
you're very sweet and gooey. So how did that happen?
Thank you. I think for me, and I think this is true for a lot of people that our childhoods had it be really adaptive for us not to be particularly needy or have big emotions, because there just wasn't space for those to be handled for any number of reasons in our families. And so we become people who think we don't need anything. And then in my case, I just somehow did a really good job not, if I were to feel grief, for example, then I would be tearful and I would be less competent, and I'm putting air quotes around that, right? Like when we let ourselves feel things, often we just have to sit with the feelings, and it's different from being able to do things or be efficient or, be these competent good girls and boys that the universe has sort of trained us to be. But I think the more I repressed and taught myself not to feel things, right? Like it leached out my soil, like the not feeling of emotions and the repressing. And so sometimes when people are angry or creating drama, like it has a feeling, but it's not the feelings that your body and the emotional field need you to feel. Does that make sense? I know it does to
Yeah.
you. It does to people in the
Yeah.
audience.
Well, another thing we talked about is, and we see very, very little of this in our political discourse these days, is having a sense of humor can really be a way of, oh, like just seeing, like everything isn't so serious. And I know, like when I get, when you and I will do some trainings, or I'll do one-on-one coaching with people, well, people, like I may laugh at stuff that you think is really serious. Just don't take it personally, because I'm just finding the world more and more humorous. Like I just trying to
David,
lighten up a little bit.
I think I just want to like actually make a differentiation, which is it's not that things are serious or they're funny. It's that things can in fact be very serious, things can be dire, things can be depressing, and at the same time, if you can find some humor, it just gives relief to that moment, right? Like it's not a binary. It's the trick is to fold them together to be able to find humor without dismissing that things are serious, because I do think a lot of people feel things are serious. But it's like, well, great, you get to think things are serious, but like, what if also you could just crack a joke, like just laugh at something, just find a little bolt of humor or lightness
I have
that's
to
cool
say,
enough.
Margaret, when I see people taking politics so seriously, I find that hilarious.
Well, I'm not sure I can go. I mean, I feel more pain, I think, about politics
I
than
know.
I know that I feel a lot of pain about it, and things do, a lot of things do feel very serious, which is why I'm sort of saying, like, can things feel serious but not totally drag you down? Can you have things be serious and also take opportunities to smell the flowers, to giggle at a good meme, or at a friend's joke?
I do think that this is, and this is what David Hawkins says, and what I really never thought about much for myself, because as I've continued to stay on this path of personal development, I have a more lightness of being. I feel that, like, and that's what he talks about as like a sense, having a sense of humor. It's just, I saw this. Also, I bring my father in a lot. I saw this with him too. I mean, he was a very serious man, and yet I just don't think he took things too seriously. I think you can get really caught up in a spiral of negative emotions like anger, frustration, resentment, disgust, if you look around and at the world and take things a bit too seriously. It's very easy to get caught in that spiral. Oh, certainly, like frustration, anger can lead you to take action to change the world, or some aspect of it that you can change. And I think that is a helpful use of that kind of emotion, while realizing that the world may not want your change. Maybe 10% of the world sees it your way if you're on this kind of path.
Maybe, yeah.
Like I see what's happening in like around the big beautiful bill and all the, oh my God, I was just like, tune in at 11 for a comedy show. That's the way I was seeing it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we need to go here on the podcast, but it's maybe not a perfect topic for us.
Oh, that's why I brought it up. It's a hard one. See, these are,
Because
I
I
just
think
see
it
it.
does create some very real problems for many, many people that aren't, where
Does.
there is no humor, where there is no humor.
I that would be bringing a compassionate view to the situation, which I think is very healthy, which I also experience, as you know. I mean, compassion registers is very, very high on David Hawkins' scale of consciousness. And so you can, I believe, as someone who's been practicing compassion for many years now, still hold a space for relieving suffering of others and still see the humor in the phenomenal world. Anyway, that's just kind of where I'm playing right now, because that can, you can look and see like, oh yeah, there's a lot of people who are still suffering, and I might be able to have an impact in with that. I mean, certainly that's why I do the work I do in coaching. So it's a both and, it's not an either or, I think, in this case. I know that's, that may be challenging for you as we're speaking about it, Margaret, and it's probably challenging for a lot of folks in the audience right now, because we're conditioned to, especially by the media industrial complex, to like make sure that we take this very seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, as somebody who works with lots of nonprofits who are working with a constituency who's potentially going to be very adversely affected by some of the now upcoming changes, I think it does feel very heavy, and I think people are upset about it, legitimately upset about the impacts of this. So I'm sort of curious, David. I don't experience you as a person who's dismissive or devalidating, so I would love to
So
be
it's not about
curious.
being dis
Yeah,
it's not about being
so I
dismissive,
don't want
right?
to say that that's where you're going, and so I'm going to just try to be curious and help me understand
Well,
how this is
it's
funny.
like
Like I'm not
funny is
seeing
a
the
little
humor,
bit different
so
than
okay.
humorous. Like it's just like when I see the madness in DC, Washington, DC, when I see the madness, like the lighter aspect of this, it would be like, oh, there they go again. There they go again. Right? Now, like from our positive intelligence coaching and training program, we can feel the, we can allow ourselves to feel the heaviness of the impact that there they go again is having on our world, and then choose, fully experience, like, this is sad right now, I get that. And now we can choose some leadership superpower, like, okay, let's get into action, like the activate power, right? But if we stay in the soup of we have to first allow ourselves to feel the anger, frustration, disappointment, all those things, right? But if we choose to stay in that, then our action will not be very powerful. In fact, we may not be able to take any action, like referring to the nonprofits that both you and I serve, they may not be able to take powerful action coming from a place of
Yes,
frustration,
I think
anger, resentment. Right.
there we align that when people are stuck in that swirl of, F you and right, like this is then it's very hard to think, it's very hard to be strategic, it's very hard to tap into any intuition or creativity about how to respond. to what is and how to begin to think about solving problems for whoever, our communities and our worlds are. So I think
You
that
know, you
that.
can get curious. This is another one of our leadership superpowers. Like one of the things is like you could get curious about, right? There's something in the atmosphere of Washington, D.C. that caused them to pass this bill. So you can get curious about what that is. And then, okay, well, what then I can shift maybe to action from curiosity. It's very hard for me to shift from to action, like, okay, what can I do about this now from a place of being in the swamp, so to speak. See, I even find that hilarious. Like it is a super swamp of negative emotions that you're witnessing. Now, you could get drawn into the swamp, into the quicksand of the swamp, or you can say, oh, that's quicksand. I'm not going there. Yeah.
I always say there's no cheese in that hole for me. There's no cheese in that hole. I'm not
This
gonna
is,
dig,
look,
keep digging, looking for something that I know isn't there.
I would say it's hard to project love, you know, from that below the line. You know, we talk about this in some of our conscious leadership work that we do, Margaret. You know, it's the 15 commitments. Yeah, it's hard to generate and put love out into the world from being below the line, the way we've been talking about it here. Now, one way I find, this is just me, I can get myself above the line by sort of like taking some sense of humor about the situation, then it's like that generates a very positive emotion for me. Like I'm not taking the situation too seriously, and then that can help me get above the line. This is what I'm saying about curiosity and humor. Otherwise,
I think
I can, as someone who has suffered from depression, clinical depression for I don't know how many years that I can think back, maybe 45 years, I can very easily say, stay below the line and pull myself down into a darker hole, you know. So humor and curiosity helps me get out of the hole.
And I know, David, you have it open on your screen. I can't see it, but just to name
Oh.
for the listeners, like what's below the line and what's above the line. I know that, and then there's like a zone of like these are the things that if you deploy, so below the line, I'm gonna say this, below the line, shame, guilt, apathy, grief, those are far below the line. And then a little above those, but still below the line, are fear, desire, anger, and pride. Now, way above the line, which is where we want to be, are love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. Enlightenment. I can even say it today. Enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment. I'm trying to add a T that's not there. And so now the space that David and I are trying to really talk are what are the things you can do to get from those below the line places to above the line? And it is true that no matter how you feel about politics right now, if you are yelling at the TV in anger or grief, which are legit and you do need to feel those things, but if you get stuck there, you do not have access to peace or joy, right? We agree on that. Okay. And so what we're talking about are what are the things that get us to maybe move from below the line to above the line? And I'm going to read those words: courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason. And I'm going to add humor and curiosity because I think those aren't listed there, but I know that those work. So what do you think that means? Like courage and acceptance and right? Like how do people tap into that to get from below the line to above the line?
Well,
Do
the
you think?
first step is to
What's your
notice.
author tell you who this book?
Well, and from our own
From our own
training
experience.
that we offer folks, is the first step to know is to notice that I'm below the line. All right. So if you're Yeah, this is like awareness. If you've stayed with us right now, like many people have already tuned out of this podcast. Just saying. They just have already tuned out because they're just below the line. They don't want to hear this. And as you and I talked about, Margaret, we've known people over the years who there's something about being below the line that is attractive. And some people feel very comfortable.
It's
They don't
so
just don't, they
something
don't
else.
know, because this is where courage comes in. This is where courage comes in. It's like, am I willing to let go of all that and take a peek over the top of that line and realize that if I start to shift, I'm not gonna die.
Right. But I'm also not going to feel this comfortable, familiar space,
Yes.
even if it's comfortable and familiar in how shitty
Yeah.
it is, right?
So you'll hear me say this, it's like running a righteousness racket. Like, I'm righteous to be angry, and I have every right to be angry and frustrated at all those assholes in DC. I don't want to get up above the line because then I don't get to have my righteousness.
Right.
Yeah.
And the same phenomenon is true in relationships, it's true with experiences, it's true with jobs, where people just keep pushing the same rock up the same hill, right? I'm sure we all know people in our lives and they can get a new job, but oh, look, it's the same, right? It's the same dynamic. Or they leave one relationship and they get in another relationship, and yet they're playing the same part in the soap opera, right? They have a new co-lead, but
Sure.
they're still playing the same part.
And they're pushing others' emotional trigger buttons so that they want to get a reaction, right?
Right.
Because that's
So
the
that,
familiar. That's the
yeah.
familiar.
So I love that courage and awareness go hand in hand, which is like if you feel sick of it, right? Like, oh,
I'm
I'm kind
sick
of
and tired.
exhausted by this. I'm sick and tired of being sick and
Sick
tired,
and
right?
tired. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we have in our positive intelligence coaching program that Margaret and I are trained in now, we do have some more like very practical tools. It's like this takes some practice, is just the noticing and like not making yourself wrong for feeling those difficult emotions. You just notice, like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated right now. Okay, get curious about, like, okay, why am I feeling so frustrated now?
That's a great question. What am I feeling frustrated about? Another great question is like, how is this familiar?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? What do I
Right.
recognize about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do I want to keep going around this merry-go-round, or like, this is a choice. I can choose to step off.
And then curiosity of like, what happens to get me here? Right? Like, what just
Yeah.
happened? And
Yeah.
what is the thing that always happens, right?
Yeah.
That's where awareness starts to help, right? If they all
Yeah.
work together, courage, curiosity, awareness, acceptance was
Acceptance.
one of the other spaces, and
Well,
all of these.
acceptance is huge,
Yeah.
right? Because acceptance isn't, we could also use the word surrender, but that's a loaded word. It's not giving up. It's just accepting what happened or is happening. And
Yes.
actually, from that place of acceptance, you get some agency.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really important to accept is what you do and do not have control over.
That's a big one. That's a
Right?
hard one.
That's a
Yeah.
really hard one.
Right.
Yeah. For nobody has control over the president right now. So what we do have control over is what we do, how we live our lives, how
How
we
we
fight back,
respond,
how we
how we.
respond, all of those things. But right,
Yeah.
so acceptance is, yelling at the TV is not actually
That's
changing. I feel good,
non-acceptance.
like have at it if it feels good for a little while, but that is not acceptance. That is the opposite of acceptance.
Yeah, So look, reach out to us. We have this wonderful we've circulated around a lot of territory today in the podcast, and just know that we're sending our love out to you, and for the 90 maybe percent of the people who have left the podcast, then this love is not for them, but for the 10% of you that are still with us, accept our love and reach out to us if you want some help.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and give
All
you
right.
love.
Take care.